Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, I am excited today. I am so excited that I don't even know how to explain it today. Here's something that's important. I remember back in 2007 when I was falsely accused of threatening a judge's life. He had made some decisions on that bench that was not accurate. It was racially motivated, and he had to be called out. I wrote an article in the newspaper, and the judge claimed that it was a threat on his life. I simply quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse. And it simply said, if you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do all the things that is right, that all these things will come upon you. So we came to the conclusion that he must have been doing something awful terrible. He must have been doing something awful bad to be afraid of a scripture from the Bible. He was a born racist. We all know that, but sometimes you have to know who a person is. You know, when you fight, you know, you just have to fight to win. And that's what I do. I fight to win. And matter of fact, he sentenced me to 3 to 10 years in prison. The ACLU came in and fought it, got me released on my appeal bond, and then it was overturned, saying no such thing. And it just goes to show, if we start standing together, standing up for each other, simply doing what is right, simply doing, which is so simple, just do what is right. If you do what is right, things will work out. You don't have to worry about what they do. What they do is really not important to me. It's what I do. That's what counts. That's why I have taken a stand for the people, not only here in the city of Benton Harbor, but around the country, even around the world. You know, I get people to come in from Denmark to court watch with me, Finland, Brazil. People come from all over the world just to court watch with me. I even get people from Korea. They come in. The court watch, they, you know, people from all over. They just want to be Mexico, real Mexico. And I had a couple of people from Mexico who came in, and I took them to the courthouse, and they reviewed some of the things that was going on. They said, this is worse than in Mexico. And he said, I don't see how they can be talking about that they fair. But the Barron County Courthouse has a long history of being unfair and unjust. That's their history. That's what they do. And they normally get away with it, you see. And the point is, nobody stands up to the justice system. Nobody won't want to call them out. You know, my job is to call them out. I make them do the right thing. That's why I go to the courthouse. When I'm over at the courthouse, I'm watching, and I'm writing, and I'm making sure that they do the right thing. Just recently, it was in the courthouse. One of the strangest things happened. This guy came in and testified at this murder trial, and nobody else would come in and testify because they was all afraid of these guys. You know, this guy stood up and testified, and for reason unknown, the prosecutor gets up and tells the jury and everybody in the courtroom that this guy is an informant for the police. Information that didn't have to come out, but they brought it out. And now this guy's life is in jeopardy. It's not funny, but it's unfortunate. Anytime you try to do the right thing, which this guy did the right thing. There was other people. It was 50 people in the yard when this guy got shot. got shot down, 50 people, and not one person came forward and said they witnessed what happened. Not one. Even the guy's girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, didn't come forward and say, well, he shot him down, executed him, shot him in the back of his head, shot him up his nose, then went and shot the other guy in the yard, shot him in the back, then point blank shot him in the head, and walked out of the yard like nothing happened. Like nothing happened. And nobody wanted to come and testify and just tell the truth. If it was your family, you would want somebody to come and just give you closure. Give you closure. But nobody wants to come and do the right thing. Just do what's right and let the chips fall where it's meant. That's why you have a God. That's why you have to believe that there is a God and stand behind this. Because we have a history of saying it's okay until it happens to your family. When it happens to your family, you want everybody to drop what they're doing and help you. But you don't want to stand up for this. And the sad part about this whole thing, this guy didn't kill three other people. He got off on the other three. Once again, nobody wanted to come in and testify. And actually, he got a good shot of getting off on this. You see, so we probably end up with a killer in our midst, a real killer. It's unfortunate, but it's, you know, it's, we got to change the way we do business. We can no longer continue to live this type of life and expect different results. It's not going to happen. We can no longer sit back and watch other people do rotten, dirty things to other people and think it's okay. We have to police our own community. They don't care about us. You see, here's the sad part here. Now who are you going to get to come in and testify if something happened? Especially if you got anything that's in your closet. They don't care about you. All they care about is convicting this guy, which I care about convicting this guy, too. I actually care about convicting this guy. And I hope they do convict him. But the sad part is that we are living this life. They call it snitching. No, I call it doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. Because it was your family. You will want someone to do the right thing for your closure. You know, but it's, you know, we're living in the times now where they got all kind of excuses why someone shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. But I stand, I myself, I don't want to see nobody in prison. But I do want to see you in prison if you out here doing bad, bad things to the people, especially in my community, especially in other communities. You know, I don't have no lock on anything. My job is to make sure that we get justice in our community and protect our community. That's what I do. Well, anyway, let me move on to this. As you know, we now have what they call PFAS in our water system now. I went out and tested over 100 and something houses, and the requirement was that you can only have, well, even 15, if you're talking about PPB, if it's up to 15, that's dangerous. But you can live with 15 PPBs in your system. And we discovered that over 90% of the people we tested had over 15 PPB. Some even had 120, 130, 175. The school had 640 PPBs in their water system here in the city of Benton Harbor. We went out and hollered. We went out and screamed. We went out and showed them the formula. We went to City Hall and we talked to this mayor that we have there, and nobody would suspect that this guy was like this. if you would have told me, but my good friend Belinda Brown told me that this guy cannot be trusted. And I said, well, no, the minister, long as the minister is around, and he's not going to do this to the minister. That's Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I said, he would never do that to him, because the minister was at my home when he told this young man to run for mayor. But he asked him three specific questions. He said, will you take care of the people? He said, will you take care of the people? Will you take care? And each time he said yes, he was lying through his teeth. He was lying. He had no intention of taking care of the people. He wanted to be like the former mayor. The former mayor had a job that was paying him over $150,000 to do exactly nothing. They were funneling the money through the hospital so that he gets a check every week. They were paying him $150,000 just to sit at the hospital. He had an office with just a desk in there. He didn't even have a picture of his wife on his desk. This guy was a character. And this guy, Marcus Muhammad, wanted to make sure that he gets some of the stipends. One of the things that happened that they have a Whirlpool Corporation and helped them get his wife to get a beauty shop downtown Benton Harbor. He got a job here at the selling cars down here, knowing he's not making any money because he's not a good salesperson. My way of thinking that they funneling the money through the car dealership, and in the same time he's messing with the people. He did not want the people to know that the water was bad in the city of Benton Harbor. He had the water is so bad that now the Michigan DEQ Department of Environmental Quality comes in and demanded, and believe me now, they're not for black cities, but anytime that they come in and say that the water is not drinkable, that you have to provide every single household with a water filter, you know the water is bad. That is some of the work that I do. I go out and challenge them, knowing that the water is bad and making people sick, that we have to fix that. People have been dying, and nobody knows why they're dying. You know, the Lakeland Hospital works with them to make sure that they that people don't get the truth. And that's what they was doing. People, the water is so bad, it's undrinkable. They told them it's undrinkable. Every single, they passed now water filters. Well, we started passing out water filters. By me passing out water filters, they automatically had to go out and outdo me. Even the water testing, I'm the one who went out and tested the water, and to prove to them, because the University of Michigan laboratory is the one who did the testing. So we couldn't say that we was making this up. What was happening was we proved that the water was bad, that the water is so bad it's undrinkable. And now they got a new problem. They got something called PFAS. I'm pretty sure it's probably in probably every city has that same problem, but you got to repair. You got to go out and fix it, because that is what's killing us. It's making you sick. You don't know why you're sick. Your stomach be hurting, your head be hurting, your heart be hurting, everything be hurting because of this water. But that's enough about the city of Benton Harbor. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Belinda Brown and Mr. Taylor. They're going to be on the show. They're going to be talking about the 10-2. And the reason why it's important, people need to understand that we have to stand together. There's strength in numbers. And I've always said that. There's strength in numbers. But we have to get out here and do what we need to do. I'm going to be on the radio in Alabama this Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about 10-2. I'm going to be recruiting people to come. And we're going to have Glenn Ford from the Black Agenda. I'm going to be on his show talking about the 10-2. And what we're going to do, we're going to make this thing happen. This is a big case. This case is bigger than life. It's a good opportunity for people to stand up and say, hey, let's stand up and fight back. On that note, I want to bring in my very, very good friend from Slidell, Louisiana.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney. You're right. This is not only just a good opportunity, Pastor Pinckney. I think this is the big one, okay? This is the big one that can actually unite the people and bring us all together on this cause to fight until they get it right.
Amen.
And that's what we're saying down here, Pastor Pinckney, that, you know, we want people from all over the world. That is my plea, that they will come from all over the world and stand with us and support us in this effort because, you know, I know, well, you know, Pastor Pinckney, better than anyone, that these people do not intend to let anybody go free.
That are in these
godforsaken hell holes and prisons and jails across this state. You already know that, Pastor Pinckney. And then you also know that they're not going to pay for these people to get a fair trial.
That's true.
We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to let our voices be heard. We're going to have to make some noise. We're going to have to unite and stand together so that we can demand justice for all of these people that are sitting in prison right now as I speak on direct appeal, where they passed a law that they can literally, they admit it, they put it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
They passed a law, Pastor Pinckney, that was unconstitutional. It was for the white supremacists to make sure that they lock up every black person that they possibly can for them to get inside their prisons and slave and make them billionaires off of the back of these people. The threat is that if you don't take a plea, if you don't plead guilty to whatever, to something that you didn't even do, we're going to put you in front of an all-white jury and we're going to give you life. So what we're saying is that it was racist back then in 1960, whatever it was, and it's racist now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the sad part. I just wish people understand how important this is. You see, a lot of times people just don't understand how important it is. They're, well, you know, that doesn't really affect us. It only affects people in Louisiana. No, it affects you also. It affects you. It affects your cousin, your uncle, your aunt, your girlfriend, your wife, and whatever.
Your grandmama.
It affects everybody. Yeah, the grandmama, everything. It affects them because, see, we have to show them now that that we're willing to take a stand. And this is the time to do it. This is an excellent time.
If there ever been a time, I mean, right now is the time, Pastor Pinckney, because, you know, they already, I think it have already catching fire, you know, with, you know, prison reform, everybody jumping on the bandwagon about, you know, this is wrong, you know, locking these people up over a marijuana joint, giving them 25 years of life because they smoked a joint, you know, all of this crazy stuff that have made our criminal justice system a downright disgrace. It is a disaster. And I believe that Louisiana should take the lead in it and exposing it is for the simple fact that we have been known. And And go, and know for our listeners, go do your research. Go do, I mean, your research. I'm talking fast because I'm passionate about this, Pastor Pinckney. I, you know, I'm going to tell you, this is burning in my soul, and I'm excited because you're going to come down here, you know, and help us. You're going to stand with us, and I know your voice, oh, wow, your voice is so powerful, Pastor Pinckney. They need to hear you, okay? They need to hear you because where you go, where you speak, it's like the whole heavens gonna open up down here, okay? And everything that ain't right, I'm just believing that it's gonna have to get right, okay? Because they need to know. They need to know that the world is watching them down here, and they're not these racist, Ku Klux, no good for nothing, Jim Crow laws. It's got to go.
Absolutely.
And that's what
absolutely
they've been using against us. They put this racist Jim Crow law in our Constitution so that they can lock up as many black men as they possibly can, Pastor Pinckney. Mm-hmm. They admitted it. And I want Mr. Taylor to come on because the reason why we're going to use Mr. Victor's case to take the lead in this, because I was there.
Yeah,
I was there.
Yeah.
I watched them railroad this man. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, it was the worst thing you can ever imagine. You would have to have been there yourself to see what happened in this man's trial.
Well,
and what happened
imagine
throughout his whole case.
Hmm. And you know, so, one of the things that's going to be important is that we have to take this stand. Whether we like
yes
it or not, we have to take this stand. We have to stand up with this man. We have to stand beside this man. We have to show them that, you know, there's people all over the country that are watching and listening. You know, I don't think there's nothing more important. Also, did you get the People Tribune yet?
Yes, I did. They wrote a beautiful article in there, Pastor Pinckney, it's just some corrections that I need to make. I'm going to put it in an email, and I'm going to shoot it all out through all of my contacts, an email blast, and so that people can go and I guess they can get the link online and read it offline too as well.
Absolutely.
I was going to make sure that I get the link and everything correct and send that out so that people can read about, you know, some of the other things that's happening around the country. And I think that's why you really say, you know, that, you know, this is something that can unite us. You know, this is something that we can stand together on. We know that this is wrong. I mean, it's you don't need a rocket scientist to see how bad this really is. This is bad. And also, I'm sending out the entire writ of Mr. Victor's case so that they can see all of the constitutional laws that they broke in this man's case. The judge would not even allow him to have an attorney in the courtroom. This man literally represented himself and his wife. You know, he was given life and she was given 40 years because the jury came back out and told the judge they could not reach a decision. And the judge threatened them to go back in and deliberate some more until they had to come out with a verdict, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when they came out with a verdict, it was a hung jury, and that's how this man, and that's what we call the 10-2, okay? Because he had two blacks that said that he didn't do it, and the rest of them said that he did, which was white.
And you know one thing, we know that Mr. Victor did not kill his son. We know that for a fact because he had asthma but you know, anytime you're dealing with a system that's built on corruption, you got to remember this. This is what they do, but also it's because the people. See, the people don't understand how important it is to take a stand and do what needs to be done. We have a history of fighting each other, but not fighting the system itself. Because the system is corrupt from the top to the bottom, and we accept it, you know. And one thing you won't ever hear an attorney telling you how corrupt this system really is. Very few attorneys will tell you how. Buck Davis used to say how corrupt it was, but that's, you know, he was a whole different animal. He was a lawyer who knew that the system was corrupt, and he knew that you had to fight within the system to beat this system down, because this system is something that people need to know. Also, did you ever find out who that person who called you, and did you get a chance to call them back? Because I think that's crucial that they get, you know, that you get on top of that and make sure that, you know, because it sounds like they want more information and they want to need. Also, Rap, I talked with Rap on yesterday. He also informed me that that they sent more information, and he also contacted you to send him more information. And let's get all this information out there so we can do what needs to be done and make this thing happen. And the thing that's even more important, we got to get the word got to spread, because a lot of time, I always say that when things don't concern black people, they really don't get involved. If they don't, if it's not their brother, it's not their sister, it's not their grandma, it's not their mama, it's not their daddy, they normally don't really get involved, and that's why we're in this compromising position today. But what I want to do,
Before you go to Mr. Taylor, let me tell you about some of the good things that are happening. And I really appreciate you so much, because, you know, I know that, you know, you're serious about this, and you've been, you know, working really hard to get the word out for us. And I want to let you know that the word is getting out. And I got a call. Yes, I got a call from the Innocent Project. Okay. And I'm going to follow up with them with the information that they need. I also got a call from Georgia, Atlanta, which is not too far from us, and those people are organized to come down here and join up with us. Also, Philadelphia, we got people that have also given us the opportunity to, you know, be a part of their talk radio show to get the word out. New Jersey, I'm sorry, and also Los Angeles, you know. So, and then this is the really good news, is that I have talking to the minister, Willie Muhammad, wants to get on the phone with you as soon as possible. And I'm hoping that we can do that maybe tomorrow before noon, if possible, okay, if you're available. Yeah, right. And he has some very strong and powerful connections to really help us, you know, stabilize our venue that we want to have the rally at for March the 16th. He is also, you know, very helpful in, you know, many, many other areas of, you know, trying to get the security, everything in place that we're going to need to make sure that, you know, people are going to be able to mobilize and, you know, be safe and everything. So he wants to get on the phone with you as soon as possible, Pastor Pinckney. And I think that is a blessing, a tremendous blessing within itself, because, you know, just like, you know, how important it is for us to stand together and bring the attention on a national level that we really need. Because when you say about the lawyers down here, one of the reasons why it's been so difficult for us to get Mr. Victor, our attorney, down here is because, number one, we don't trust them. Number two, most of them are afraid, okay, because they knew that, you know, practicing law in the state of Louisiana is their lifeline. And they know if they touch this case, that there's a possibility that they might be disbarred, or they may not be never be able to practice here ever again, okay? And we have had that happen to some attorneys already, you know. So, and then I had one attorney tell me that, you know, he don't even want to come back and practice law in Louisiana. He moved to Florida because he's saying that it's just that bad down here, Pac. It's worse than bad down here.
And, you know, I can see that too, Belinda, you know, and anywhere where you can't hold people accountable for their actions and their inaction, it's bad. And it's a lot of that, you know, we have to take a stand. We got to change the way we do business. We got to let these people know that if you don't do what's right, we're coming. And
right.
That's the message we want to send. We're coming, and we're coming down here, and we want to make sure that the whole world know that there's issues there in Louisiana, and we're going to try to correct them. And I think that's the message that we want to send out there. And it has to be that even the white people down there It's my understanding that 64% of them voted for it.
Now, right.
That's
it was
saying a lot. You know, especially when it comes
right,
to
it was
them.
A tremendous victory, right? That said a whole lot. That lit, that really sent out a real loud sound to those individuals that wanted to keep it that way. The people said, no, we don't want it anymore, and it's got to go. And that's what happened in November of 2018. So, you know, I can say a whole lot more, but I think, Pastor Pickney, you are right on that. You know, this right here is a niche. I mean, this is big. This is bigger than life, because it's something that we can all, you know how bad it is that we all want to, you know, everybody want to do something. Everybody, you know, trying to get their own little groups popping up over here, popping up over there, but they're not really being effective. I think, you know, if we can just join forces on this, if we can join forces to come to Louisiana and help stand with the people on this, I believe that it's going to really bring about, you know, a movement that we all been yearning and asking for. You know, when is the change going to come? Because what's going to happen, Pastor Pickney, is that they're going to have to take responsibility for all of the damage that they have done, whether they want to do something about it or not. We're going to expose it. And see, this is the problem. They don't want nothing to be exposed down here because they cover up everything. It's cover up, cover up, cover up. But from the from our Supreme Court all the way down, we want all the tentacles that attach to the corruption in our criminal justice system to be exposed. We're putting together a narrative that is going to explain all the things that's going wrong in our court system here in the state of Louisiana, and why we have so many people locked up in these godforsaken hellhole prisons and jails across this state. Everybody needs to know why we were named the most mass incarceration, why we were, you know, was the only state that had more people locked up than anywhere, you know. So this is the problem. If this is the problem, then now is the time to get a solution.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, let's bring in Mr. Taylor, so he can also hit on that. Mr. Taylor,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. How are you?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
A little bit. Can you talk just a little bit louder?
Yes, I am here, Reverend, and just listening at atrocities that we're still suffering going into the 21st century. I hope you can hear me a little bit.
I can hear you well. I can hear you well.
Okay,
absolutely,
great.
Absolutely. So we're kind of like putting together a game plan so that we know what we're doing and how we're going to deal with this. I think it's important also that Mr. Victor, do anybody speak with Mr. Victor? That's another thing that I want to talk about. Is there any way that anybody can get in touch with Mr. Victor?
Well, I rely on one of his sons whom he contacts. The way the prison system is here, we can't just call in, or there's no way for us to reach him.
That's for sure.
And sometimes we only get like 3 minutes on the phone to really talk to him. But yes, we've been in contact with him. If I have to, I contact some of the authorities inside of the prison if we don't hear from him, and try to get a call to him, and he would call us out. So that's the only way we can do that now, Pastor Pickney.
Okay, because it's a whole different ball game there. Do they have like different levels of the prison system in Louisiana, or everybody just go into the prison system on the same level? Which, like here in Michigan, we have different levels of the prison, and
different tiers. Right?
Like,
no, Mr. Victor was
called level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, and level 5. We have that here in the state of Michigan. Level 1, you're able to call out whenever you want to. Level 2, you can call out whenever you want to. But when it comes to level 4 and 5, it's only a certain time that you can use the phone.
Well, we're not sure about that. No, I'm not sure about that, Pastor Pinckney. It, you know, Mr. Victor was given life for, you know, a charge, you know, for something he didn't do. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, they have not treated this man right from the very beginning. They put this man in Angola before he was even convicted of anything, okay? So that's how bad, you know, they took this man's tragedy and made it a nightmare. And I would like for Mr. Taylor to go right ahead and let the people know about what's going to happen on March the 18th. Are you prepared to do that, Mr. Taylor?
Well, yes, the best of my understanding of we just need to make sure that we clear on the definition on the separation between the non-unanimous verdict issue and this horribly illegal conviction of Mr. Victor that went through the court system here. They're two entirely different things. The 10-2 verdict that has been thrown out now, which he was convicted under that racist, illegal system, the non-unanimous jury. And because of the fact that he is on direct appeal, we feel that he is covered by this, although they were very careful when crafting that repeal of that it only applied to crimes committed post January 1 of 19. Mm-hmm. They didn't predicate it on the crimes that were committed by the courts when they convicted these people with what is now an illegal process. So we have to fight to show the injustice of this repeal of this non-unanimous verdict, to fight for Mr. Victor's opportunity to get relief under this new verdict appeal system.
Absolutely.
I hope I'm making that clear. In other words, the new, I hope did I get that across? Did you understand what I'm attempting to say to you here?
I do.
Take your time, Mr. Taylor. Go ahead.
I know exactly what you're saying. I do know, but we want to make sure that the listening audience understand. We're looking at Mr. Victor right now. We're targeting him because the 10-2 is already done, and we're hoping that we can figure out how we can get somebody in there who can argue the point that Mr. Victor is innocent, and even though the 10-2 still he was convicted under, that it's a possibility that we consider it not being him not being convicted as of yet, because he got to exhaust all the remedies that he can get to overturn it. Is that some of the stuff that you you're talking about?
That's it exactly, Reverend. His case is not settled. He's, like I said, he's in the direct appeal stage of it. He's still appealing that verdict, so it's not final. That would make him eligible that would make him eligible to benefit, except somewhere in that law, like I said, they inserted, they made it contingent on the date of the commission of the crime for which he was charged. And that presents some legal challenges for us there, because we know that, again, that's not fair. They're continuing to use the law against black and poor people in the same perverted manner they did when they first, in 1889 or 99, when they came up with this scheme, which they admitted was racist, and its intent was to illegally incarcerate black people, especially men.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And here's something. If Mr. Victor died before his appeal was completed, it would be a record that he was never convicted of there.
Mm-hmm.
In prison. Yeah, it was the record would say that he was never convicted. So that's why the 10-2 is also so important in this, because whether they say whether retroactive or not, plays a major part. But it also tells you that it also applies to him, even though they say it don't. Because remember this: if he like Hernandez, he hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
In the prison.
You talking about Imran?
Yeah,
mm-hmm, right.
I'm talking about the football player. And
oh, okay.
And what they did with him, his conviction was wiped out. He was
right.
It got him looking at he's never been convicted of murder, period. And
right.
That's why it's still active for Mr. Victor right now, because he still should be under that. Whether he was convicted years ago under the 10-2 law, but he still should be standing right now here in 2019 and should be able to justify it. But I'm thinking that we're heading in the right direction, and I think the thing that we need to do is great. But listen, I got Joe Perry on the line. I want him to come in and tone in and talk about the history of it real fast, and then I got to bring in my big friend Yo. All right, hold on there. All right. Joe Perry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
Sherry.
We're getting ourselves ready for this. We're recruiting all around the country to make sure that we have a good showing on that day, Joe. But what I want from you, I know you know a little history about this. Can you talk to us just a little bit and tell us a little bit about it, the 10-2 law?
Yeah, I had no idea when I first heard about it. I had no idea that this was going on, really. I've never even heard of a 10-2 law. And it just seemed to me just counterintuitive that in a country that calls itself free, right? You know, they go out of their way to let you know that America is such a free place, but in such a free country, we got a law like this, right? And then the other part that struck me was that they were just so candid about it. I mean, they just tell you right out, you know.
Right.
This is what I mean. It's just like they're bragging about it. Like, yeah, we did this. So what? You know. Anyway, so I went and started doing some digging, and I was able to find out. I think Bess is just, and this is only one quote, by the way. I'm going to quote for you what these folks had to say. First of all, the name of the person was a Thomas Semmes, or Semmes. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. S-E-M-M-E-S. And this fella here was and actually during the Confederacy, he was like probably the top guy in Louisiana that was one of the people behind the Confederacy. And this is what he had to say in 1898 as part of the law, and I quote, he says that they did their job to establish the supremacy of the white race in this state to the extent to which it could be done legally and constitutionally. So what he had to say about it, unquote. All right, and, you know, this law finds its origin right then and there. They had a constitutional convention in Louisiana, and at the constitutional convention, they came up with all kinds of laws. This was just one of many, and all kinds of strategies that they would use in order to make sure that blacks, especially men, were going to be locked up, you know, at will, just make it completely easy for them to lock up who they wanted to, how, when, whatever. I think it should also be mentioned, there's a book that was out by a guy named Blackmon. I don't remember his first name. Last name, Blackmon, B-L-A-C-K-M-O-N, called Slavery by Another Name. I would urge people to read that book, very similar to this. He was talking about the state of Georgia, for instance, where what they were doing is they were using the criminal justice system in this fashion. They would have police that would go out and they would find anybody, they would arrest them, and then they would, you know, take them to court. And in those days, there were separate fines for each aspect. Like, you go before a judge, the judge got a fee, the stenographer got a fee. There were fees for everybody. You know, the jail keeper, there were fees for paperwork. And, you know, the fees might get up to, like, a couple hundred bucks. And in those days, there was no black person that had a couple hundred bucks. So they had a system where, let's just say you were a person that ran a corporation or a factory down there, like, say, steel mill. You could come over to the jails and simply ask, well, who do you got for me? Oh, we got this guy here. He couldn't pay his bill. Well, I'll pay it for him, and they'll pay. And then they gain custody of this person, and they take him back to their factory and have him work in that place for free, and they claim that they're having him work off this $200, bit of fines. And the guy would end up working there for the rest of his life and die there. And the story behind how they discovered this was going on, this guy Blackman was down in Georgia doing another story. He trips over a grave. You know, he didn't know it was a grave. It was like an old graveyard that had just been grown over with vegetation. He trips over a grave, and they dig away. They find out they're standing in the middle of this vast graveyard of people who had died under this system. He went to start doing some digging and found out about the whole thing. The way it came to an end, it was during World War II that the president, FDR, had decided that, well, if this got out to the world, this was going, it was still going on. This is 1941 when we entered the war. This is still going on. He had decided that if this got out to the entire world, there's no way that the United States had a moral standing to talk about the Germans or the Japanese and what they were doing, and that it would be taken advantage of. So he immediately sent, federal law enforcement officers down there and put an end to it, just like that. And it gives you an idea of what can be done to get rid of this sort of thing overnight if there were the will to do so. And unfortunately, we don't have the same circumstances today. The will is going to have to come from the American people. We're going to have to decide we don't want to put up with this kind of nonsense no more. Here's my question. If we have found this thing that's going on in Louisiana, this 10-2 unanimous decision, I'm wondering what the hell else is out there that we don't know about. We need to do some digging. We need to find out what are all these things that go back to slavery, that go back to sharecropping, that go back to whatever. Dig them all out and get them out of here. And we need to organize a national movement, if you will, a second or third or fourth or whatever coming of the civil rights movement again to really just wipe this thing out.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's why they always tell us, Joe, that's beautiful, because that's one of the reasons why they always tell us get over it. You know, they want black people to always get over it. I don't care what it is, get over it. You know, we did you wrong, it's over with, forget about it, you know.
Another thing they say, Pastor Pinckney, is take what you can get.
Take what you can get,
because basically that's what they said about the non-unanimous, the non-unanimous vote was like, okay, y'all need to go and take this, it's no longer the law. So, just forget about all the rest of those, forget about all the people that was convicted up under this law, unconstitutional racist law, forget about them. Basically, that's what they're saying. Even though they're on direct appeal, we don't care about them. Just go and take what you can get. The law no longer exists. We didn't took it off. So just, I guess the H with the rest of them people.
Amen. Yeah.
When they say get over it. I mean, I would be able to get over it if y'all would stop reminding me all the time of it. I'd get over it just fine. What's the
right? Everything
too long.
Everything they do,
this is my thing.
You
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everything they doing is so. If you want me to get over it, then put an end to it. If not, guess what? We're not the only ones that you can say take what you can get to. Maybe they should take what they can get. Because if this thing pushes on further
right,
and further, Okay, you know, I mean, the resolve of the American people about this kind of nonsense, I mean, this is why it's not in the news. This is why, you know, I listen to the news every day. I watch the news every day. I ain't seen this on the news. There's a reason for it. The American people won't put up with this kind of crap. I'm not talking about the diehard Trump support or something. I'm just talking about the majority of the American people. You put this, just like it was 70% voted it out, you can imagine what it'd be in the rest of the country about this sort of thing. It'd be all over this thing, man.
Hey, here's something that's remarkable that happened, too, in Florida. You remember, felons couldn't vote in Florida if they had a felony. They voted and won that in Florida, which is that's going to put 1,300,000 people on the roll. And most of those people are going to be black people, which you would never believe that would happen in modern times today, because they're so against people who have a felony, because that's another way of controlling the people. That's another thing. I'm hoping to go to Florida too and deal with that, so we can get all these folks registered and ready to move on to a different level. But
Pastor Pickney, that's one of the things that we're doing in New Orleans. We joined forces with Florida, and we were successful in getting that same law passed here. And actually right now, that's something that we can also touch on when you guys come down here and talk about uniting with some of those groups that have already started that movement, that I'm also working with them. You know, Joe, are you coming to Louisiana? Because I know Chicago is not that far from us, but if Pastor Pickney can come from Michigan, I know you can come from Chicago.
Yeah, I know that's right. Yeah, I'll
probably end up driving down here, because, you know, this plane takes cost too much. I'm going to have to get my car and drive down there. I guess I'll hitchhike if my car breaks down. I'll hitchhike down there.
I certainly want you to come. If you can hitchhike half the way, I'll pick you up the other way, the rest of the way.
Mr. Taylor, Belinda, I gotta let y'all go. I really appreciate the insight y'all gave us. But we're gonna keep moving, and we're gonna see can we make this thing happen. And I gotta bring in my good friend, my very good friend, Big Yoke. So I gotta talk to y'all later. Everybody, take care.
All right.
Hang in there. And I gotta bring in my very, very good friend, Yoke. They wrote an article about my good friend. A very, very, very interesting article about this young man. And I have pledged that, you know, that I would read it for him on the air. And what it says. It says Larry Pinson Sr., a retired United States postal worker, had written a book called CHAPS. CHAPS is the shortened version of the initial clockable hours application process and pay system. CHAPS is a pay system originally created by Pinson for postal workers, but Pinson said he could be used across all type of workforce, especially military, police, hospital, government workers, and others. Larry Pinson said Joe L. Osteen prophesied about CHAPS in his message, Balanced Books. Even though Joe Osteen doesn't know about CHAPS, he prophesied about this. The part that Pinson said relate to CHAPS is where Osteen said God is going to give you back double, said Pinson. This is one of the promises that God said he is going to fulfill. He is going to raise up a prophet among you. When the NLCN notices that the scripture is a tribute to the coming of Jesus Christ, he agreed, but said that other prophets were also raised among people. Pinson included God gave Martin Luther King the job and objective of equality. He also went back to say that Moses' job was to free his people. Now, Pinson said he is the prophet for today. God gave him the job of providing jobs for his people. In research, the NLCL found that the 2016 show on Osteen's website was labeled Message 683. Osteen is a televangelist who's senior pastor of Lakeland Church in Houston, Texas. Osteen website states in counting the phrase balanced book means to make up for the loss. If an account is low, there is a deficiency. Revenue is added to equal everything going in and out in the same way. God desired to balance the book on the broken pieces in our lives. We all go through things that put us in a deficit in life, a rough childhood, the loss of a loved one, a broken heart, an illness. Hebrews 10:30 said, God is a just God. He will repay the compensation owed to us. He will settle the case of his people. You may have been through things you don't understand, but get ready, because the creator of the universe is adding up all the deficiencies, and if you will allow him to work in your life, he will bring you out and increase, promote, vindicate, and better than you were before. You can trust God to balance your book. Henson wants everyone to read Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget my children. One of the things Pinson wanted everyone to know is that everyone has 168 granted to them by God. Pinson said that every week, everyone has their own 168 hours. To make it plain, 168 hours equals 7 days a week times 24 for each day. Full-time workers own these hours. One statement was perplexing at first when he first stated that they have to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and a day within a week. You have to work 8 hours a day and you cannot come back until 16 hours. Well, this statement includes the non-physical working hours of 168 hours total, 7 days, 24 hours a week, work week. Larry Pinson's book, Chaps, has 47 pages, including the title page, table of content, and the introduction. At the end of the book, he includes his biography, which has an impressive military history. He also received 8 medals and 2 ribbons for his service. Pinson has been in the media numerous times on radio shows and newspapers and the internet. One radio show that his where his book that was highlighted was with Reverend Pinckney on the Pinckney Blog Talk show. It can be heard by going to blogtalkradio.com, Reverend Pinckney. His interview starts at 12 minutes into the show, into the interview. Pinson talks about his paces and his voice and his understanding for the source. At a birthday party for Reverend Edward Pinckney, where Larry Pinson and his wife attended, he met Jane Fonda, who presented his book to her. The birthday party was filled with activists, which shows how influential Reverend Pinckney is with other activists. Reverend Pinckney broadcasts every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. His show is live streamed at www.blogtalkradio.com, Reverend Pinckney. The following excerpt from the Green Party, the USA website, states a little about Reverend Edward Pinckney. In 2014, Troop Out wrote, on December 15, Reverend Edward Pinckney, a leader in the struggle for social and economic justice for the residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan, was sentenced to serve up to 10 years in prison on the basis of thin circumstantial evidence that a few dates had been altered on a recall petition against the city mayor, James Hightower. The recall was prompted by the mayor's continued support for tax evasion by the Whirlpool Corporation, the Fortune 500 country, $19 billion global appliance manufacturing headquarters in Benton Harbor. And we wrote last week in depth, political motivated prosecution against Pinckney killed the petition to recall Hightower, who many believe would have been ousted due to his ongoing prosecution of the Whirlpool interest in the expense of the impoverished Benton Harbor, which is over 90% African American. Pinckney was recently included in an article by blacknews.com where the title is Meet the Genius. They call him a genius where revolutionary payroll system could prevent future government shutdown. The article explains some of the contents of the book and shows the photo with Larry Pinckney and Jane Fonda. Larry Pinckney's book, Chaps, can be ordered through the website larrypinckney.com, ordered through Kindles and hardcover paperback through Life Publishing, Amazon. I think it's $5.99 in the paperback, something like that, and $3.99 on the Kindle front. Barnes and Noble's, also notebook. For more information on questions on chat, you can go to Larry Pinckney by email through his website, contact link. For more information, contact Larry Pinckney at 708-404-4443. That's 708-444-4443. Anyway, that is my good friend Larry Pinson. And we don't have much time, but we'll get him on next so he can talk more about it. But I want people to understand how important it is to hear him out and listen to him. He's a great guy, and he wrote a great book, and I definitely endorse his book. On that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station, and you will hear from Larry Pinson Sr., my friend. Talk to you later. God bless you all.